Hello, you lucky people. My name is Patterson Joseph and you're listening to Radioactive. Enjoy!
Bösewichtrollen, Fantasygeschichten und aktuell 135 Titel auf IMDb. Dafür und mehr ist Schauspieler Patterson Joseph bekannt. Im ersten Teil des Interviews hat er von seiner Theater- und Filmlaufbahn gesprochen. Doch wie sieht es mit seiner Fernseherfahrung aus? Und wie ist er vom Schauspiel zum Schreiben gekommen? Das alles und mehr hört ihr jetzt in Teil 2. Patterson hat sowohl in Großbritannien als auch in den USA in Serien mitgespielt. Wie unterscheidet sich die Arbeit in beiden Ländern?
I've been on two shows in America. One was called The Leftovers. And I do remember the respect for the director is quite high in America. With the British try to make it more egalitarian. You know, we can talk and laugh and joke and whatever with the director very easily, quite early on. And it seems to be a much more relaxed attitude to that. Whereas I think the director in America, in the American scene, and again, I've only had very few examples of it, they're more in control of everything, including sort of atmosphere, etc. That's the only really thing. The crews are the same, funny. I mean, the time I was doing Timeless, which is a much longer running thing, you really get to know them really well. I always love interacting with the crew. There is a kind of hierarchy there that there isn't in Britain. I mean, people feel that hierarchy naturally anyway, because it's like, oh, the actors, and they get looked after in this particular way. Someone's always coming to do their makeup or asking them if they're okay. Or, here, do you want a cup of coffee? Or do you want a cup of tea? You know, are you all right? Do you want to sit down? Here's a raincoat. All of the things that happen to make actors feel like infants. Whereas the crew are working longer hours. They're always there before us and they're always there after us. And there just seems to be a natural hierarchy. So when you do talk to the crew a lot, sometimes you'll get a crew who are like, oh, this is okay. He's not normal. It's all right.
Den Umgang zwischen Performern und Crew hat in den USA anders als in seiner Heimat wahrgenommen.
I think in America there is a sort of, I suppose, informal edict that you don't address the actors unless the actors tell you that you can address them. Which, to be honest with you, I would always break, because I'm used to theatre where everybody has to muck in. You have to deal with your own costume. You have to come in at the right place. No one just draws you to your entrance. And there's a lot more autonomy. So therefore, I think there's a lot more cooperation between departments in the theatre. So I'm used to that. So I will always try and replicate that. If I'm running a rehearsal room, everybody has a say. Everybody's voice is to be heard. And I'll become a dictator when I need to, when we need to focus and do a thing. But otherwise, those are the best environments for creativity, because everybody feels that they're a part of it rather than you're just carrying that light and putting it there. And that's all you do. Don't even comment on what you're seeing. Or, you know, you just do costume. You have nothing else to say. The theatre scene is much more egalitarian, as I say, which is infinitely more comfortable, I think, for me than any film set, simply because I know what everybody's doing.
Seine Lieblingsrolle zu wählen ist nicht leicht. Doch einer seiner frühen Charaktere in einem Neil Gaiman-Projekt hat es ihm angetan. Der Marquis aus der 1996er Miniserie Neverwhere.
There's so many, so many. The Marquis de Carabas, 200-year-old Marquis who lives in the underground of London, is one of my favorites ever. He was so quirky, sneaky. He knew things a bit like a Doctor Who character. He knew things that no one else knew. And he never quite told the full truth. He was a really enjoyable character to play. And if anybody asked me, of course, to play him again, I would jump at the chance. It's a really good story, Neverwhere. And of course, one of my favorite authors, Neil Gaiman, it was the first time I met him there. He was very young, we were all very young. And he had never seen his characters live. And he's on set and he's writing and he's, you know, he's involved. But I remember sitting with him in between filming, and his wonder at his characters that he'd made up in his head.
Seine Freundschaft und Zusammenarbeit mit dem Autor hält bis heute. Patterson hat eine Rolle in Gaimans Buchverfilmung Anansi Boys, die bald auf Amazon Prime erscheinen soll.
Now he's got American Gods, he's got Good Omens, he's got Anansi Boys, which is coming out soon. I mean, actors, we love to say these things. It was a small role, but we always call it a cameo. I do a cameo. I like that character, but it's a show that's going to make people sit up, and I hope it's good. It's very bold. Really wish him all the best with that one.
Den Charakter, mit dem sich am ehesten identifiziert, findet schnell. Charles Ignatius Sancho, eine historische Persönlichkeit, mit der Patterson viel verbindet.
I suppose the character that I relate to more than any other will be Ignacio Sancho, and I play him on stage, and I'm doing this as the same this new show. He has a very particular way of speaking and addressing the audience, and yet it feels like I'm inside there. I'm actually sitting in my center, and that's quite a wonderful experience to have, and it's helped me, I think, with other characters. It's helped me to understand how where that could sit in me, where I could just be completely comfortable being this person and not have to think I'm acting, I'm doing acting. You know, that there is a kind of joy to that.
Was hat es mit Sancho auf sich?
He was born on a slave ship in 1729. By the time he died at the age of 51 in 1780, he had become an actor briefly. He had become a musician. He'd worked for the royal family. He was a composer. He published music. He was a patron to an artist. He was the first man, a black person, actually, of African descent to have an obituary in a newspaper. He wrote reams of letters. He was well known in his time. I thought, I've got to tell this man's story. So in about 1999, I started researching him. And then in around 2007, finally, I had a draft that I could send around, and I did. And that became my monodrama, Sancho, An Act of Remembrance, where I play him.
Pattersons Weg zu Sancho begann bereits in den späten 90er Jahren.
I was on the movie called The Beach, and I was talking to Tilda Swinton, and we were playing cards between scenes. And she asked me this very Tilda Swinton esoteric question: what would you like to be remembered for before you die? And I was just trying to play cards here. Like, I'm definitely sure I lost that hand because I got so distracted by it. And out of my mouth, instantly, without even thinking about it, I said, I would like to write a book, a play, a film, a TV series about black people in Britain before my generation and before my parents' generation arrived in the 1940s. Now, that's quite a history that seems very specific, but it's affected Britain in major ways. And there are hundreds of thousands of us, and a lot of us don't know our history before the middle of the 20th century in Britain. And I hadn't even done any research much at that point. I just said it to her. I said, for the younger generation to know who they are, and that they belong here. And then we carried on playing cards, but it stuck as a seed.
Hat Sancho nicht nur auf der Bühne Leben eingehaucht. 2023 erschien Pattersons historischer Roman The Secret Diaries of Charles Ignatius Sancho. Wie kam generell zum Schreiben?
Writing was always something that I did. I mean, for other reasons that I won't go into now, I struggled academically through the system, which was deeply racist when I was growing up, and presumed that I wasn't very intelligent. And I imbibed that. I took that in and thought, well, I'm not academic. So I used to play truant and hide in the public library. So I became avidly interested in reading. And I'm also, as you can hear, a born storyteller. I would love to say, oh, I'll be pithy. I'll just say a couple of sentences and you can neatly edit it. I don't talk like that, and I don't think like that. I can't tell you about parking my car without telling you the adventure I had on the way. It's in my DNA. This translates itself into writing, but of course, I'm also underconfident, so I used to stuff all my writing in a drawer and never show it to anybody. And by the time I got to, I suppose, mid-30s, I thought it was time I stepped out from that.
Die Inspiration zu seinem Roman kam ihm in Pandemiezeiten, nachdem die Rolle bereits auf der Bühne gespielt hat.
During lockdown, I thought I'd know 20 years more about him than I did. Research is getting better. It's easier to find out these facts. And I just wrote for about 3 months. And the great body of the novel came out of me in that way. So it was very isolating. I don't know that I would want to do it again. I might not have a choice if I get compelled to write another novel, but it was very intense. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I had nothing else to distract me. But I think it's all the better for that since it's written in diary form, and it's got that lone voice. So yeah, but the experience is very different to working collaboratively with a director.
Welche Vorteile hatte es, die Geschichte in Buchform zu erzählen?
See, the thing about novels is it's the best form of storytelling. The novel is a curated, this is the best version of the story that I can give you. You read these words and they will form pictures in your head that are your pictures. There's no director of photography telling you how the lighting is. There's no costume designer telling you what they were wearing. and there's no casting director casting the wrong person in the role. You've got perfect image and it's indelible and it never leaves. And so to me, to attempt to bring Sancho to life for people who, white or black, who'd never heard about him or his history, to have that reaction, to have people really get him was very, very gratifying.
Wie ist als Autor mit Historie und Fiktion umgegangen?
So historical fiction, story sticks with us much more than facts. So what I was trying to do, I suppose, and what I would say you should do with historical fiction is to conjure the personalities and bringing them to life. And if historical fiction doesn't do that, I'd much rather read a non-fiction historical account. And I don't mind if the person who's writing it extrapolates from history a little bit, as long as it's not anachronistic. So Sancho and the novel is of his time. It's written in a sort of 18th century idiom, but not too much because it's very hard to read that stuff. But he expresses himself as an 18th century person, not a 21st century person as I am. So historical fiction really should be as immersive as possible, like putting on a VR headset. You should really be in there. Otherwise, what's the point? It might as well, as I said, read a historical account that is non-fiction.
2023 wurde Patterson ein besonderes Amt verliehen, als er zum Kanzler der Oxford Brookes University ernannt wurde. Im Vereinigten Königreich ist dieses Amt aber nicht gleichbedeutend mit der Verwaltungsleitung.
Yeah, I mean, the Chancellor, by the way, is a human mascot. I mean, the Chancellor, if I could run in there and go, right, you're doing this and doing that, I would do that. The school would probably crumble in a day because I'm not an admin guy. They are the person that can speak out, but don't necessarily have any administrative levers to pull. So I can only call it and say, this is what I think.
Patterson hat sich sein ganzes Leben lang mit Kunst- und geisteswissenschaftlichen Themen beschäftigt. Wie steht er dazu, wie diese Fächer heutzutage an britischen Universitäten vermittelt werden?
If I think about it personally, I never went to university. I wasn't academic in that way, as I said. Universities always seem to me to be great places to learn more than just what you're learning academically, but to learn how to be with other people, learn how to collaborate. I think they're great places. However, they're not magical places. They're also very practical places, and they need to make money, and I understand that. I get that. Our problem is not about the universities having a will to promote the humanities. It's about our society disparaging the humanities as a viable career option because they cannot see where the money will be made from it. Now, that's a poverty of thinking that has swept the UK. What we've done is take academia and say it is about the practical making of money, it's about teaching people how to do science, technology, engineering, and maths in order to do something practical with it. Not to learn how the world works, but to learn how you can work the world in order to make money.
Besonders Geschichte liegt ihm dabei am Herzen.
And so the humanities and the arts, you take a student of history. History is such a rich field of not only study, but of knowledge of ourselves. It's both social and practical. It's understanding how things were made and why things are the way they are, and how other ways of being have developed in different countries. It's so important for human beings to understand these things. So Oxford Brookes has got the same issue as everybody else. They don't have enough people signing up for these courses for them to be able to sustain them. And I think that that Oxford Brookes, in fact, some people who are very high up in running that university are part of the humanities. That's what they trained in. That's what they're in love with. But unfortunately, they're looking at the practicality of keeping a university going. Humanities, yes, they can seem frivolous, but they're really vital.
Und somit endet unsere Interviewreihe in die englischsprachige Unterhaltungsindustrie. Danke an Patterson, dass er sich so viel Zeit genommen hat, um spannende Einblicke in seinen Beruf zu geben. Hoffentlich haben euch die Beiträge ein paar neue Blickwinkel zeigen können. Alle Interviews mit unseren 5 Gästen findet ihr auf radioaktiv.org. Danke euch fürs Einschalten.